We're going to read from Psalm 103. So if you've got a Bible, if you want to turn to Psalm 103. If you don't worry, it's going to be on the screen. And you can follow along there. I'm going to read from Psalm 103. We're going to start at verse 8. And then we're going to read through to the start, just the first bit of verse 17. Okay? So if you want to follow along, you'll see that now. So verse 8. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. He will not always chide, nor will he keep his anger forever. He does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his steadfast love towards those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our transgressions from us. As a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him. For he knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. As for man, his days are like grass. He flourishes like a flower of the field. For the wind passes over it, and it's gone, and its place knows it no more. But the steadfast love of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him. I wonder if anybody knows when this was trending in social media last year. Anybody know the event? It was the number one trending thing in social media on one particular day. Does anybody know? Somebody be brave. No one knows. Well, I'll tell you what it was. It was this guy here. You'll see him on the screen. Oh, he's not coming up. He's not coming up. Eliud Kipchoge, there he is. Do you see him? Remember him? Anybody know what he did, Eliud Kipchoge? Well, he did. He became the first man in history, the first human in history, to run a marathon in under 2 hours. He ran it 1:59. Impressive, isn't it? I've been close to that before. Anybody else been close to that in here? No. Well, Eliud Kipchoge, he was the first human in history to do it. Incredible sporting athletic feat. And you see there, just on his shirt, you'll see Ineos. Now that was the organization that were sponsoring this run. Them alongside Nike, the two of them went to town. It was everywhere, you could see the two of them. And Ineos, they've made a website which is called Ineos 1.59, obviously denoting how long it took them to run the marathon, to break the record. And basically this website, if you were to look up this website, it's pretty incredible. It's a website there to raise our hopes about the human race and all that we're capable of as humans. It's filled with these inspirational quotes and stories from people telling us that hashtag, no human is limited. And here's a few of the things that it says on the website. This is true. There are no limits in life and nothing is impossible. There's nothing you can't do or be in this life. Eliud Kipchoge has proved that no human is limited. They're nice sentiments, aren't they? They make us feel quite optimistic, hopeful about life. But if you're in any way in touch with reality, then you'll just know that they're not the truth. But here's the thing, we live in a world which tries to make us believe this delusion that we as humans were limitless. As young people, we're told all the time by the media, we're told maybe even by our friends and other people, that we're almost invincible, that we're the greatest thing that this world has ever seen, that we're immortal maybe even, that we're going to live forever. Death just seems so far off. Don't even think about death. Do you know, the world as well, it even tells us that there are no limits on life, no constraints in our lives as well. You can be whoever you want to be. You could do whatever you want to do, whether that's morally, ethically, sexually even. No limits. Nothing holding you back. And the world says that it's living a life like that that actually gives us hope. It's living a life like that which makes us free. It gives us our sense of purpose. Now, I'm not sure what you make of the Bible, of God's Word, I'm not going to make any assumptions that just because you're here tonight, you believe what the Bible has to say is the truth. But we've just read a few verses, and we're going to look at a few verses together in Psalm 103, which give us the truth about life for us as humans. And these verses, far from showing us that no human is limited, these verses give us a reality check and show us that every human is limited. But it's actually realizing that, accepting that, coming to terms with that, which gives us hope in life, which points us outside of ourselves or anything else in this world to find the answers to life's biggest questions. Like, why am I here? What's my purpose in life? What happens to me when I die? So let's have a look at what the Bible has to say about life in Psalm 103. We're going to look at verse 15 and 16 together first. Here's what it says. Follow along. As for man, that's you and me, his days are like grass. He flourishes like a flower of the field, for the wind blows over it and it's gone, and its place remembers it no more. Here's the truth these verses in the Bible reveal to us about life. First thing is this. Life is fragile and out of our control. It's fragile and out of our control. Now you see the picture we've got here in this psalm. We've got the picture of a flower that's in the field. It's flourishing. Do you see that? It's in its prime. It's vibrant. It's bright. It's enjoying its time in the sun, this flower. That's Eliud Kipchoge, the fastest man to run a marathon ever, flourishing athletically. As much as this pains me to say, that is Liverpool at the moment. Flourishing in their football. That's a Man United fan speaking. That has taken me a lot to say that, trust me. They are on top of the footballing world, and I am so envious and jealous, but they're flourishing. Maybe that's you right now. Maybe it's in your sport, you lads in the front, sports people here. Maybe you're the top goal scorer in your league. Maybe man of the match week after week. Maybe it's your team. You're just flying high. Maybe it's in other areas of life, in your relationships. You're popular amongst your friends. You're the person that everybody wants to be around. Maybe it's in school, academically. Maybe you're achieving great results. You're going places, the teachers say. Maybe you're just healthy, happy. Things couldn't be better in life. You feel like that flourishing flower in the field. Brilliant. Enjoy it. The Bible says people will flourish in life. But look how the picture of the flower changes in verse 16. The flower which once stood tall in the field is blown by the wind, and it's gone. And the place where it stood remembers it no more. Almost without warning, completely out of the blue, in fact, the wind blows, and the flower is gone. And maybe you've experienced just how fragile life can be, just like this flower experienced it. How quickly things can change when the winds of life blow all of a sudden. Maybe in your sport, injury strikes, form dips, you lose a few games and you start to slip down the table. Maybe it's in life, you get those exam results in school that you were never expecting to get. The direction that you're going in suddenly changes. Maybe you get completely blindsided by you or someone in your family getting those test results from the doctor that you never thought were going to come. Or someone in your family loses their job. Financially, you take a hit. Maybe that relationship with that boyfriend or girlfriend, which seemed so good, is just rocked by something. Life is fragile. And life is ultimately out of yours and my control. We don't know when the winds of life are going to blow. Circumstances, situations, they change oh so quickly. And here's the second truth these verses reveal about life. Life is fleeting and will not last forever. Look again at verse 16. That flower which once stood tall, flourishing in the field, is gone. And it's the second part of the verse which is so striking, isn't it? The place where it stood remembers it no more. It's almost like it was never there in the first place. Now, a show of hands around the room. Hands up high if you know who Roger Bannister is. There's a few hands going up, a few here and there. Now, I'm not making any judgments here, but it's generally the older people in the room who are putting their hands up. You younger people, I'm not so sure. And you know, I asked my brother, who's 17 before I came, Roger Bannister, who is he? And he just went, not a clue. Mum knew though, Roger Bannister, she knew. But here he is. Here's Big Rog. On the track. Now that gives a clue maybe as to who Roger Bannister is. Roger Bannister, 1958, all those years ago. If it was 1958, and I asked that question, every single hand in the room would be up, young and old. Because Roger Bannister, he was the most talked about person in athletics at that time. He was the Eliud Kipchoge. This man, Roger Bannister, he was the first man in history to run a mile in less than 4 minutes. Now, there are some of you guys, and I can tell, there are some people thinking, I could do that, no problem. Well, he became the first man, but do you know Roger Bannister's record? It's been broken over 500 times now in America alone. It was broken 21 times in 2019, in fact. It's almost commonplace to run, if you're an athlete, that is, not me, anyway, it's not commonplace, but if you're an athlete, to run a mile in less than 4 minutes. 1958, everybody knew the name Roger Bannister. 2020, most of you young people don't even know he existed. And someday, you know, it'll be the same for Eliud Kipchoge. Talked about now, but what about 50 years from now? 20 years from now? 5 years from now, even? It's a harsh reality, isn't it? Life is fleeting. Life moves on. Recognition, prestige, honor, glory, all of it fades. 1 minute there, gone. The next. But an even harsher reality than that is that even our very lives on this earth, they are fleeting too. Our lives, they don't last forever. It's humanity's greatest limitation. The one thing which is certain for every single one of us in this room, death. It's a reality that no one can escape, no one can avoid, not even Roger Bannister could outrun it. He died at 88 years old in 2018. And you know, someday, death will come knocking on Eliud Kipchoge's door too. Death is a reality for us all. And I don't say any of this lightly or flippantly, because I, maybe like you, have experienced the painful reality of death. I've stood at the funeral of a 25-year-old friend. I've witnessed the sorrow, the pain that death causes in our world. And I don't say this to scare you. I don't say it to bring a downer in your night or to make you feel uncomfortable. No, I say this to wake us up to reality. The Bible shows us the truth about life. It's fragile. It's fleeting. It will not last forever. Hashtag, no human is limited. That's just not the truth. Hashtag, every human is limited. And the Bible tells us why life is the way it is. It actually gives us the reason why this world is fragile and why it doesn't last forever. Because it points us to one who is unlike us as humans, one who is above us, one who has no limits. Look back with me at Psalm 103 and verse 14. Look back at verse 14. Here's what it says. For he knows our frame, he remembers that we are dust. Here it's talking about God. The one who knows our frame, who knows how we've been made, he knows everything about us, in fact, all the intimate details of your life. Because the Bible says he is the one who made us. That's the truth. He created each one of us in this room. He knows us intimately because he is the giver of life. And the truth is, God made us to flourish and to prosper in the world he created. His intention in the beginning, in creating the world, creating you and me, was for us to be happy and to be healthy, to prosper and to thrive forever in life, to enjoy all the beauty this world has to offer, to enjoy all the good gifts like sport and relationships forever. But here's why life is limited for every human. God created us in his world to flourish with him and not without him. And the great problem is every single one of us, me included, have turned our back on God, chosen to accept the good gifts that he has given to us, but to reject him as the good giver of those gifts. We've tried to live our lives flourishing and prospering on our own, taking God out of the picture. And the Bible calls this sin. It's our rejection of God, our turning away from him, turning away from his rule and his authority in our lives. It's effectively like saying, stuff you, God, it's my life, my way, not yours. And you might say, well, so what? What's the big deal with sin? What's the big deal if I've done that to God in my life? Well, the consequences of sin are sad and they're serious because life is broken. A breakdown in our relationship with God has happened because of sin. And a breakdown in our relationship with God means that there's a breakdown in our relationship with other people as well. And a breakdown in relationship with God means that we are broken off from the giver of life. And it means that one day we will see death. Not just death in this life, but death eternally, forever. One day we will be cut off from God forever. It's a pretty bleak picture, isn't it? And you're maybe asking, well, if this is the reality of life for you and for me, if sin is a problem that every single one of us have, if it's a problem that I can't deal with on my own because I know how sinful I really am, whenever I look in the mirror, I can see the stains that sin leaves every day in my life. Well, then what hope do any of us have in life? What hope do any of us have in death? Well, here's why the message of the Bible, the truth that is contained in the Bible, is called good news. Here's why it gives us hope. Because it points us to a God whose love for us knows no limits. Look at verse 17 of Psalm 103. Yes, we as humanity, we have our limits. Yes, the reality for all of us is that life is fragile and it's fleeting and it will not last forever. But there is hope for everyone who believes in the God whose love knows no limits. There's hope for you. There's hope for me. Hope of new life. Hope of life that will last forever. Life beyond this fragile and fleeting world that we find ourselves in now. Why? Because the steadfast love of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him. This psalm points us to look beyond ourselves to the author of life, to the one whose steadfast love, his unending love, is on those who trust in him, who recognize him as the creator of this world, the Lord over all things, and accept his love. And look at the picture that's painted in this psalm, this beautiful picture of this loving God. Look back with me, verses 8 to 12. Look what it says. He's a God whose mercy and grace towards us are endless. He's a God who doesn't count our sin and rejection of him against us, but instead he offers us forgiveness from the guilt of our sins and from the punishment that you and I deserve. And in verse 11 and 12, it's just such an amazing picture of God's love for us. It's a love which stretches as far as the heavens are above the earth. And it says that in his great love for us, God He's like a compassionate, loving father. He takes our sin, our iniquities, and he removes them from us. As far as the east is from the west. And how does he do it? Well, he does it at the cross. Through his son, Jesus Christ. Because if we fast forward to the New Testament in the Bible, we see the fulfillment of this psalm, and we see the ultimate display of God's limitless love for you and for me, displayed in the life of his son, Jesus Christ. Romans 5, verse 8, tells us these words, "But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." See, God's son, Jesus, came into this world, lived the perfect life of obedience to God that you and I could never live, never sinned. God's son, Jesus, who died on the cross, it was the very pinnacle of God's love being poured out on us. And God's son, Jesus, who after 3 days in the tomb, he rose to life victorious over death. Proving that death has been defeated, that death couldn't hold him, that sin has been wiped away for everyone and anyone who comes to trust in Jesus. Full assurance that one day we too will live because of him. Life forever in eternity, beyond this fragile and fleeting world that we find ourselves in now, life forever in eternity becomes a reality. That's the hope of life that God offers to each one of us. It's the hope of heaven that he extends to you tonight. And God freely offers this to you tonight through his son Jesus. Because all any of us have to do to receive this new life, to know what it means to have the hope of heaven, all we have to do is trust in Jesus. Trust, like Jess said, trust that his death and his resurrection have been for you. That he died to allow you to be made right with God, to be brought back into relationship with him. Trust that his death means that your death in this life will not be the end, but it will be the beginning of new life, life that will last forever in eternity, life in heaven, a life that the Bible says is one of unlimited joy and satisfaction because of Jesus. A life where everyone is in complete harmony and peace because of Jesus. A life where we have everything we could have ever wanted and more forever because of Jesus. Isn't that the life that we all want? Isn't it the life that this world is searching for? That's what's on offer to you tonight. All you have to do to receive it is accept your limitations, acknowledge your weakness, your sin before God, ask for his forgiveness, and know that because of Jesus, you can have new life in him. Eliud Kipchoge believes that hashtag no human is limited. It's just not the truth, Eliud. I wonder if instead of believing the lies of this world, the things that this world tries to tell us about this world, the things that this world tries to tell us about this life that just aren't true, will you come to know the truth that's contained within God's word and believe in this God whose love for you knows no limits? We saw it in the video earlier. Life's short. Eternity's not. I wonder which one you're living for. I'm going to pray for us, and then we're going to sing. We'll praise the name afterwards. Let me pray for us now. Father God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the truth that is contained within it. And we thank you, Lord, that in your word, it gives us hope in life. Not because of anything within us or anything else in this world, but because it points us to you, to the life that you offer to each one of us through your Son, Jesus Christ, through his death and through his resurrection. Lord, I pray that if there's anyone in this room tonight who has not yet acknowledged that they have their limitations and that they have the greatest problem that anyone could have, and that's sin deep in their hearts, Lord, I pray that they would ask you for forgiveness for that sin, that they would turn to you, that they would see that you are the one who gives life, and you're the one that through Jesus offers new life. Full forgiveness from our sins, full assurance of heaven and life with you forever in eternity. Lord, we thank you for Jesus Christ. And Lord, we thank you that you're a God who loves us with a steadfast love that goes from everlasting to everlasting. I pray all these things in your Son, Jesus' name. Amen. So we're going to sing.